You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League, the Champions League and the Europa League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Didn't we all see it coming? Cristiano Ronaldo returns to Old Trafford with a brace in Man United's 4-1 win over Newcastle. We'll discuss what it all means. Plus, 10-man Spurs fall 3-0 to Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park. Chelsea taking all 3 points from Aston Villa. Manchester City keeping pace with their victory at Leicester. And Mikel Arteta and Arsenal finally get the first points of the season. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Robbie Earle, a little bit unusual. We normally do our podcast on a Sunday. Events at Old Trafford just got us a little bit revved up, and we wanted to jump on and kind of discuss what we saw with Ronaldo and Manchester United. So we wanted to record this one on Saturday after the games, which you're doing right now. So let's start right there, my friend. And Man United 4-1 against Newcastle. Cristiano Ronaldo with kind of a dream return, really, Rob, with a couple of goals. A real view of what's to come at Man United with the attacking talent that they got. But let's first of all talk the man himself. And right from the start, when he walked out to the roar that went around Old Trafford, it went pretty well, didn't it, for Cristiano?
Yeah. And as you started the show there, mate, I kind of felt you were almost apologetic in it. You know what? We should be celebrating. He's one of the best players ever. He's come back to the Premier League. He's playing for the great Manchester United. And we saw the scenes today, Rob. We saw the scenes of people waiting for the bus to arrive. We saw the scenes of people when they were warming up. We saw grown men who maybe talked to their sons and haven't seen Cristiano Ronaldo, maybe certainly most in almost 13 years, but some may never have seen him live before. You know, all happening on the pitch. We shouldn't have to make excuses. It's a special pod because we're talking about a special footballer. Mm. That's what Cristiano Ronaldo is. Today, Rob, we saw glimpses of what makes him special. A 36-year-old who's got more money than he's ever going to need. He's got more silverware than the Bank of England. Yet his hunger, desire and drive to get more goals, to prove his worth. To interestingly say, Rob, in an interview after the game, which I thought was very humble, said he was nervous today. He was nervous about making sure that he fulfilled and did his part for the team. Those are the kind of things I think as a Man United, if I was a Man United fan, if I was a Man United player, if I'm anything to do with the club, would fill me with great joy and promise of what's to come.
He's a class act, Rob, in everything about the guy. In that interview, Rob, I'll just follow on a little bit where he said, you know, last night before he went to bed, he kind of thought about, he didn't doubt himself, but he was anxious to show the Man United fans that he could still do it at his age. And he said that himself, like he was a little nervous about that, which is in itself, given what he's done in the game, it's just interesting. And the humbleness of the guy, I suppose, that he's still wants to do the good job and do it right. And he really did. I mean, of course, he's very different to the player that left Man United 5 years ago, I think it was. Absolute out-and-out number nine. I thought he was particularly sharp today, Rob. Particularly sharp. Kept it very simple with his build-up play, with his touches. We're going to do a little analysis tomorrow, Rob, on Cristiano Ronaldo on the tactics board about some of the movements and how he gelled with others. But particularly Bruno Fernandes, who plays in a similar position. I think we're going to, you know, have a look at sometimes it looked really good, other times they looked a little bit similar. But I mean, let's face the bare facts of this game is that he's still incredibly sharp. He's obviously a outstanding finisher with his left foot or whether his right foot. He didn't get many headers today, but there's a couple of times he jumps like a foot higher than everybody else. And you know, he won't always be the outstanding individual in this team because there's other great players as well. I think that's a key point, that others still felt empowered enough to do their thing and not make it all about Cristiano, with finding him the ball at all times and everything had to go through him. That was a good sign today, Rob. And other players look pretty good as well in this new look United team.
Okay, mate, I'm going to take a position. On the basis of our
podcast. A knee-jerk one?
I think you might, you're not going to like it, but I'm going to take a position for the basis of a rounded discussion on Cristiano Ronaldo. It's not drinking the Ronaldo Kool-Aid, as they say, I think, in America.
Yep.
It's devil's advocate. I'm going to go the other side of the fence, Robbie Musto.
All right, let's do it.
So I'm going to start with, okay, two great goals today, great second debut back at Manchester United. Might this team over-rely on him? You remember the great Matt Letizia, who was at Southampton, and basically the whole team ran through him. But if you stop Matt Letizia, you stopped Manchester United. Is there a possibility we could go down that road with Ronaldo?
I hear the point. And today, I was encouraged that I think others will step up, Robert. It wasn't a Jadon Sancho performance or a game. That he's a work in progress. I think he will and is finding it difficult initially. He's still, I think, 20 years of age. He's still super young. He is the future of this club as a wide player. I get that. I think Mason Greenwood has matured enough to sometimes play for himself a little bit more than others around him, as in Ronaldo. We've seen Bruno Fernandes is experienced enough, Robin. The goal that he scored today was stunning technique and ability. So I the question for me is no, I don't think they will be. I don't think they will be. I think I said on the pre-game show today before the United game started that the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, has got to be, in my opinion, strong enough at times, and it'd be probably really difficult. Yeah. But if he has a couple of quiet games, you know, to bring him out and to give Mason Greenwood a go through the middle, or maybe more likely Edinson Cavani to play as a number nine position. I think that's important. And there will be a certain amount of rotation when the Champions League game's starting to come now as well. So my thoughts are that there's so many other good players, Rob, that I think are a point in their career, maybe outside Jadon Sancho, that will grab the chance to play. They won't play in the shadow of Ronaldo, though his personality sometimes makes that difficult. Yeah. But I think there's enough quality there, Rob. And, you know, I was speaking to a friend of mine who watched him a lot in Serie A last season. And, you know, he sort of said, like, yep, got good numbers, a lot of penalties in those numbers of Serie A goals last season. And he thought that the players around him at Juve weren't the creative type and maybe weren't creative enough to get even more out of Ronaldo. And I think that's the thing for United fans that we'll be excited about, is that Ronaldo hasn't got to do great stuff on his own, Rob. He's not got to drop his shoulder and beat three players and stick it in the top corner, because others in this team are good. And he gets a little tapping goal. You know, he gets a lovely through ball from Luke Shaw, wasn't it, where he goes through and scores his second goal. So the talent around him makes his job easier. And if he gets those chances, his quality, with his quality, he's going to bang in a load of goals.
I agree with the point. And obviously, again, I'm playing devil's advocate. But let's take the Luke Shaw situation. When Luke Shaw does really well, brings a ball through, Ronaldo makes a run for his second goal inside the fullback. Really nice, powerful run, still got the pace. And at that time, I remember looking at the screen, Rob, and there was four options for Luke Shaw. There was one wide left outside of Ronaldo. There was Ronaldo. There was, I think, Greenwood and somebody else on the far side. Maybe Sancho and Greenwood. So there were four Manchester United players making runs. Now, Luke Shaw quite rightly plays it into Ronaldo. Ronaldo gets a goal, score, brilliant. Everybody on, you know, headlines made. There may be days when Ronaldo makes the run, but Greenwood's run's better, or Sancho's run is thingy. But the personality and the presence of Ronaldo makes Luke Shaw play it in there, or Wan-Bissaka play it into him, or maybe not your Brunos and people, but players who might just have a little bit of a different thing. Is that something that can happen? We've seen it with great players where sometimes you're like, cool, you know, there's better options on there, but, you know, you're going to the big time player, the main man all the time. Could that come into United's game? Could he be too dominant on a team?
Well, I was concerned about that, right? About that. I just it depends on his continued attitude, Rob. Today, big game for him.
Yeah.
He's at Old Trafford. He's against Newcastle United. It's going to always give you chances and opportunities. His demeanour, and we will study this like really closely.
Yeah, every week in, week out, we're going to look at it, aren't we? Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Today, it was impeccable.
Yeah.
So there was no kind of frustrations. He did his thing. Everybody else around him did his thing. Everybody's happy. It's just, and I'm going to throw it back to you, Rob, because it's not, you know, with your question in here, you're hinting at something that
I'm playing as advocate that some people out there are talking about. Some people are saying that, yeah.
But what are you, so I'll throw it back to you. So I'm not at the moment, listen, if we see in three or four games time where he maybe he's had a couple of quiet games, you know, he throws his arms up in the air when he doesn't get the pass when he should do, that might start affecting things. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're worried about? And do you think, Rob, that will happen?
No, I don't. And I say I'm playing devil's advocate because I think it's good to see it from other people's point of view. Not everybody's going to be the Cristiano Ronaldo fan and disciple and you know, hanging on his every word. There's going to be people who are going to look for the deficiencies. How does it affect Manchester United in a negative way? Mm-hmm. I think, and I've said before, I think it's only all upside. What the question is, are the days when he's had 10, 15 games under his belt and he's not feeling nervous about the game and it's not all the hype of him coming back. What does that day look like? What's he like if the ball doesn't come? Those are all questions. But I think there's upside. I've said before, I think the way that he's come back to the football club, I think the way that his relationship with the manager, I think the way he's talked about what this club meant to him in the first time. I think he's come back to, what's the word, help as much as he can in getting this club back to where it was. I think he's talking about helping young players. I think Greenwood will be a better player. Saw some nice rotations with him that we'll talk about on the tactics show tomorrow, where Greenwood came central, Ronaldo had a little spell out wide. I think his attitude in terms of his drive and determination, I think his movement with the likes of Bruno will work out and be advantageous. So I don't see those things, but I think it's important we're not all just...
No.
All hail Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
We've got to be aware. The last one I want to throw at you, Rob, and I know this, we talked about it briefly on the podcast before, and it was interesting today. So Paul Pogba played in as a holding midfield player next to Matic, who was quite energetic, actually, for Matic, with the three players ahead of him and Ronaldo as the centre forward. Now, Paul Pogba has got 7 assists on the season, is in tremendous form, looks happy in that role. Is there a point where Paul Pogba could be like, not really getting my assists here, not getting as much on the ball against tougher teams who have more possession and more threats than Newcastle have? doesn't quite see as much of the ball, has to do a lot of tracking back and tackling. Do we lose something of Paul Pogba on this journey?
Well, you know, we did talk about it last podcast, Rob, and you know that the concerns that I had, you asked me if I play him as a two all the time, and I said no. No, we played it today, and it was absolutely fine, and you said he's got the assists. He looks very comfortable in himself right now, Rob, which is probably the most important thing, injury-free, motivated, probably excited with the new look, well, not new look, but the additions made in the summer to boost the team. It looks great. Now, there might be a few suggest Newcastle had a few, maybe more than a few, really good looks on a counter-attack.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I remember you talked today, Rob, about if Callum Wilson would have been there, Newcastle might have scored more than the one goal. There will be continued talk about the balance of the team. Attacking guys, defensive guys, artists and soldiers, however you want to say it, you know, are some of those attacking players ready to roll up their sleeves? Jadon Sancho, and Mason Greenwood, etc., and also Bruno at times to come back and be that durable defensive side. That's still to be, for me, it's still to be seen, really, with Pogba. I do worry about his desire to fill spaces. And also, you know, swinging it back to the manager, Rob, on it, we just watched the Chelsea game, and there was a moment in the game where there was a little bit of sloppiness from Callum Hudson-Odoi. He made a poor pass, and Thomas Tuchel on the sideline is hammering him, giving him a real hard time for making mistakes. You know, if Pogba does start to get into lazy mode where he doesn't track his runners or do what he should do defensively, is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer going to fix it, make changes, tell him what he's got to do? So there's still, listen, today is a tremendously positive day for Manchester United.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's great to see them, Rob, and the rotations and stuff. It worked out today.
Yeah,
I'm telling you now. I think in the future, at times I looked at the, and this is uber critical. Worked out today. I just thought at times it looked a little bit chaotic attacking. So when there was desperation to try and break Newcastle down, I saw Luke Shaw in a centre forward position. I saw Mason Greenwood on the other side. I saw Pogba. It lacked a little bit of pattern and strategy, but maybe that will come. Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about the rotations tomorrow and our tactics kind of breakdown of Bruno sometimes making runs in behind, Cristiano coming to the ball.
Towards the ball,
I do like the Greenwood rotation. It's just there's all that stuff going on. It can look a little bit chaotic. But maybe that's in the need for creativity. We'll see as that shakes out as well. But, you know, in trying to summarise it today, Rob, it was we felt it was all set up today. Newcastle at home with a bunch of changes defensively. Ronaldo starting the game with the atmosphere, the feel-good factor. Jim Beglin in commentary said he's never felt like that in a stadium for a long time at Old Trafford, that, you know, the fans are believing again. And I think, you know, as a line from me on it, it looked like a Manchester United team, Rob, that we played against, that Sir Alex Ferguson managed, you know, a team full of stars, a team with high energy, a team that were on the front foot, that wanted to get forward, a little bit of flair, the stunning goal from Bruno, the little sharpness bits from Cristiano Ronaldo. It was impressive today, but it is a long season, and the points that you made and I've just made, we'll monitor that as the games go on.
Yeah, absolutely. 36 years of age, with many criticising, can he come back in the Premier League? Will he still be able to influence it? Will he score goals? I think after day one, he's already shown that he's still got something to offer. And it's a better Manchester United team with him. It's a better Premier League with him.
Rob, you're going to move. Before we move on, I just have my notes here. I just wanted to ask a question about Jadon Sancho. Yeah. And I know that Jesse Lingard came in and took his goal really well. Is Jadon Sancho's position on that left-hand side that's going to be super competitive when Marcus Rashford comes back? Maybe now Lingard, that's his way into the side. Jadon Sancho, 21 years of age. Slow start, but anything to be worried about? Is he going to, will Ole Gunnar Solskjaer pull him out the side for a few games possibly, or is he going to keep playing?
Not yet. I think there's a real talent in there. And I think, you know, we're talking about, you know, next 10 years of football could be there if it comes right. We've seen players come into this league and struggle, Rob. We've seen German players particularly come into this league and struggle. So he's a young German player, got good numbers and comes with a really good reputation. What's really interesting, Rob, is there's a balance, and we've talked about Ollie and managing and knowing the right time. At the moment, I'll try and let him play through it, get himself, you know, a goal, get himself a couple of assists, get himself in a confident mood, because everybody who plays with a bit of confidence, we saw with Timo Werner, what without confidence can do. But there is a point, Rob, in a team that if they're going to challenge for title, can't carry people for too long. No. Can't be, well, you know, let's find, we'll give him another two or three games to find his feet.
That they've got.
If you're winning a title, Rob, that position's got to be productive. And at some point, Jadon Sancho's got to start producing. Now, I'm not saying at this stage, drop him, it's too early, whatever. But, you know, we want to see a little bit of progression. We want to see a little bit more as the team starts to mature.
Absolutely right. But United flying right now with the signings that they made. Varane at the back looks particularly assured as well. Good times for United. Good victory today, 4-1. Two goals of Cristiano Ronaldo. Really good day at Old Trafford.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Let's move it to the Palace, my friend.
Yeah, the Palace.
London Derby, our first game of the weekend. Crystal Palace face top of the table Tottenham. Palace without a win. Spurs won all three, yet to concede a goal. So, as football was, as the Premier League is, Palace win 3-0. Talk to me about it.
Well, I think we should talk Crystal Palace, because I did go back and on Thursday and watch their last game against West Ham United 2-2, just to get a sense of what they're like, because they've given them the first few weeks of the season. There's a ton of games going on. I had a good look at them, and I was quite impressed. And today, of course, a real solid look at them today. The first game, the only game going on 7:30 Eastern time. And I liked them. I liked them. We know that the three changes, the manager change, the style change, and that the tons of player change was going to be a challenge. And I think a lot of people, us included, thought they could have a difficult season. I think we both agreed that there's enough quality there that they wouldn't be relegated. But I liked what they did, Rob, against a Spurs side that we know are predominantly counter-attacking. But the progressiveness of the coach now, the progressiveness of the style of football, the passing, the energy, particularly of Conor Gallagher in the middle of the park, Kouyaté being back in midfield, and those two centre-backs that I've had concerns about. When you look at this team, I kind of know what I'm getting from their midfield, McCarthy, Kouyaté and Conor Gallagher from his last loan period last season. I kind of know what I'm going to get from the front players, apart from the player that came into the game we're talking about. I know what I'm going to get from Joe Ward. Tariq Mitchell is a really progressive, good young player. It's just Gouye and Anderson. I know Anderson played for Fulham. Some good things, some not so good things with relegation. But those two players are the key for me. And they had a really good day, Rob. A clean sheet. They look strong. Good work from Patrick Vieira. Salah's Park rocking. What a good performance, my friend.
Yeah, and you talk about those two. Gouye was under 21 captain this week. I saw him at Swansea. Rob did particularly well at Swansea, and you know, another one out of that Chelsea academy. I think that's good business at 25 million. Joachim Anderson, 33 million. We saw him at Fulham from Lyon. Yeah. What I would say with him, Rob, is at times, and this isn't a criticism, it's more of an observation. He's sometimes that confident to have the ball out the back and play into midfield and play out to fullback. The man receiving the ball's got to be ready to accept it because he has a confidence in his ability.
He can play.
He can play. But there was once or twice I could see him, he gave a ball out to Tariq Mitchell and Mitchell wasn't quite ready and it was a little bit of a hot potato. And there's a balance between playing out at the right time, knowing who you're playing to, sometimes maybe going a little bit longer. But you're right, with those two in the team. And I look at Patrick, he's a rookie manager in some respects, certainly at Premier League level. He's a young manager. He wants to have more possession than Roy Hodgson. He's brought in a number of young players, Rob.
Mm.
Gallagher. Mm. Goyi. Elise, who we haven't really seen yet. Out ready and scored goals. Good energy. Eze's got to come back into the squad. You know, young players who can grow, who'll get better. You know, Edward, we're going to talk about the centre-forward that he's brought in. He's brought the age level down.
Yeah.
He's got some good, as you say, bodies around it. And he's putting meat on the bones now. He's got some good young talent that if he can get through the early challenges of getting enough points, you know, to get in a reasonable position, I think these bright times ahead for Palace.
Yeah. Listen, we know what a long season it is. Mm. And we know sometimes, you know, when there's a lot of newness with a new manager and new players, there's a bit of a honeymoon period that players and clubs enjoy a little bit. The weather starts to get cold. The games come thick and fast. I get that. But initial first reactions are actually better than I expected, given the changes. And you make a good point, Rob, about all those changes, but also a younger team and a younger squad of players and young signings. And I think if you look around a lot of the clubs, Arsenal certainly, a lot of the clubs are making younger signings, thinking of the future. I think it's a great way to go. You worry, of course, about the short term with that, particularly with Crystal Palace, that we've always thought, Rob, after have a solid shape with Roy Hodgson to stay in the league, you know, maybe that this time, they tried it before, Frank de Boer didn't work, maybe this time they can be a bit more expansive. They've got the players who can do it.
And we can't talk about Crystal Palace without mentioning a certain guy who was actually my underappreciated player of the week, Rob. Only in as much as, I think over the last 4 or 5 years, we've watched Roy's team, we've seen Frank de Boer's team, you know, almost since Palace had been back in the Premier League in 2013. It's hard to remember a 15-goal season strike. I think Benteke maybe one season. So they spent $25.5 million on Odson Edward, from Celtic, who was on the bench today. His record's not bad, Rob. 86 goals in 179 appearances for Celtic. And I know people say, well, that's Scottish football. Yep. But it's goal scoring. It's finding the back of the net. He was on the pitch for 28 seconds today, my friend. 28 seconds before. He got two goals today, Rob, that I really, really liked for centre-forward. The first one, he didn't really get a great contact, but he realised sometimes it's about where you hit it, not how hard you hit it. The second one was, again, not perfectly set up on his left foot, which is his weaker side. But again, he didn't try to get on his right. He hit a shot that beat Lloris, the keeper, and thing. And those are centre-forward goals. He was in the right spots. He's around the penalty area. And when you think of the talent that Palace have got with Wilf, with Aryu, with Gallagher, with Elise, with Eze to come, with players who can get service into the box, if he can be a guy who hangs around, who knows his way around the penalty box and knows how to slot things past goalkeepers, Rob, this could be a really, really important signing for Crystal Palace and be a difference maker.
Yeah, 23 years of age. You know, he's 23. Gouye, you talked about, 21 years of age. Conor Gallagher, I know he's only on loan, 21. Mm. So not only right now it's really good, but of course for the future. The important thing is that Palace needed to upgrade and bring the age down in the team. It was super old. Big decisions made. Gary Cahill, who we thought, wow, that's a big call to get rid of a champion.
Like
he's a champion player. I mean, he's won the Premier League. So, yeah, just good signs for Crystal Palace. And I really enjoyed watching them today, Robin, and how they are. They are trying to play. They're being expansive. The fullbacks are on. You know, they trust particularly Anderson's quality on the ball. Mm. I think he was involved in one of the goals with a long direct ball out towards Wilf Zaha, I think it was.
Yeah.
You know, his progressive passing is going to be really interesting to watch at Crystal Palace this season. Anyway,
look, we might just talk about Spurs, Rob, because they came in top of the table. Few players missing through number of various quarantining and injuries and players away on obviously being away on international duty. Not helped by an Eric Dier injury after, I think, 12 minutes he actually hobbled off after a challenge with Oyu. Not helped by Tanganga getting a second yellow card. A little bit rash having got himself involved with Wolf Zaha, so down to 10 men. But not a good day for Nuno, Rob. And... No. Let me just chuck a big picture thought at you that one or two people are suggesting and is out there doing the rounds. Heung-min Son is more important to Spurs than Harry Kane, say some people.
I think there's an argument there, yeah. There is. I mean, of course, you know, he missed today and it was a bad performance, a bad day at the office. Yeah, maybe it's true. Thinking about it, yeah, maybe it is. Maybe, you know, in terms of what he brings consistently, whether he's assisting, whether he's scoring, the way that he plays, the energy, etc. It was a really bad day today, you know, and football has a way of doing that. I mean, before the game on the show, you know, we're asked about Spurs, and I've really liked what they've done in their own way, in Nuno's way. I was really surprised, and I get the changes defensively. I just didn't pass the ball up. You know, every line was affected by the injuries. Winks coming back into midfield. Dele, who's been doing great in midfield, moves to the front line. Of course, we know that Bergwijn is out. So many changes there, but still, like, they should have done better than that. Yeah, and I think Nuno maybe learned a little bit today, Rob, learned a little bit about his squad and about this club and this team and some of these players. Awful luck for Eric Dier, and Tanganga got a little bit fired up with Benteke, etc. I mean, this is why we love the fans being back. Atmosphere was bouncing. The players were up for it. I just like, wow, that was kind of a bad day. And that surprised me a little bit. I thought they'd be more durable than that, even given the injuries. And yeah, food for thought, well beaten, outplayed. Like, yeah, just a really disappointing performance from Spurs.
And they're at home to Chelsea next weekend. So we'll have to put things right. Certainly maybe have one or two more bodies back, one or two more fit players able. But certainly want to get themselves back on track after three wins in the first three games, conceding no goals, go to the Palace and concede three, Rob, to give Patrick his first win.
Just one other point that I'm just thinking about it. Like, we've talked, you know, a little bit about Jadon Sancho. We're probably going to talk a little Saul later for Chelsea.
Yeah.
Emerson Royale, again, like these new players in the window, come into their squads, come into this league. And Ronaldo said it in his interview after the game, Rob. It is a different level in terms of intensity, speed. You know, I'm not going to say atmosphere because other leagues have got great atmosphere as well. But I thought he struggled a little bit, Rob. Emerson Royale, I thought he struggled. Yeah. Really tough.
Zaha was up against him, wasn't he?
Tough opponent for his debut.
Strong, he's skillful, he can do a bit. He was committed today.
Yeah, and that's so Emerson Royale, like, he'll sleep well tonight. Like, wow.
He might not sleep so well, to be honest, every last performance. But yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It sometimes takes a game or two to get used to, you know, from a defender's point of view. And we'll see how. We'll keep an eye on him, obviously, as Spurs go through the season. Let's move it on to Chelsea, my friend, because they were at home to Aston Villa and looked like a tasty game. A Chelsea team that went down to 10 men last week against Liverpool and showed their defensive qualities. Six changes to that team that played against Liverpool, Rob. So, you know, some enforced, some with injuries, but certainly mixing the pot up and managing the minutes and the numbers of the players that played. And we have to say, you know, the start of the game, Aston Villa were
better,
showing good value and effective. And they played a system with three men in midfield and two strikers. So Ollie Watkins played next to Danny Ings as a two, with a back three and wing backs. And that caused Chelsea some problems, Rob, we were saying, certainly in the midfield area where young Jacob Ramsey is. It was driving forward and causing problems.
Yeah, I think the systems were a little bit different, the way they set up in midfield. And because Chelsea's football wasn't clean, sadly, but because Saul didn't have a good day, he got caught on the ball a few times. Like, if he was a quarterback, he would have been sacked a few times on the ball. He made a few loose passes. And if you do that when you're up against three guys in there, then they're gonna start to take control. And, of course, Chelsea went up 1-0 with Lukaku's first goal. But I thought Villa looked really good. The second part of the first half, asking a lot of questions. Edouard Mendy's having to make a lot of saves, Rob. Villa looked really, really good. And of course, at halftime, we're asked on the show by Rebecca, it's like, well, what's going to change here? And we both said, well, the midfield, and Graham Lasso said in commentary, like, whether it's Sal that comes off or whether they make a tactical change, that probably should be addressed. Now, whether we haven't really seen Tuchel do that, where he's reacted to opponents that have had a good moment in the game. But he did. He made the change where Jorginho came on for Saul. Ziyech dropped into midfield a little bit to match the Villa's three. And basically, that was it. That was problem solved. Figured it all out. I mean, and then they flipped that advantage of midfield, became Chelsea's. And yeah, the error from Tyrone Mings early in the second half, Rob, killed the game for Villa. Killed the game with the changes, with that second goal where Kovacic, it was superb. And I'm going to go on to say right now, underappreciated performer of the weekend, Robbie Earl, Mateo Kovacic. Now, we know he's a very good midfield player. Underappreciated. I think people don't realise how good he is, actually, in all aspects of midfield play, from defensive interceptions and tracking runners and doing his thing on that side of the ball to his ability to pass, his ability to be cool when players close him down. He can find a little way through like he did today for the first goal, I think it was. And then he takes his goal. He'll press and close down. Takes his. He's a really, really good footballer. So underappreciated. When I watched him today, I'm like, yeah, he's my man for this weekend. Kovacic had a fine match.
Yeah, it's a good shout because he's sort of been in and out. You could argue in their best 11, he doesn't quite make the team if it's Kante and Jorginho. But he came on last week, Robert. The last game against Liverpool, came on as half-time sub when they were down at 10, and kept more possession, was better in midfield. And you said today was outstanding with the pass to Lukaku for the first goal was stunning.
Sensational.
Was brilliant bit of midfield play. And then he cleverly got onto the bad pass from Mings and scored with that one. So, yeah, absolutely good shout with that. In terms of Thomas Tuchel, Rob, I'm trying to think of, and we would, you know, I was sort of picking your brains when after the game. These young German or young coaches come up and seem to see problems quickly and know how to rectify them, Rob. Now, I would probably say the biggest difference between Frank Lampard and Thomas Tuchel, and I think Frank's going to be a good coach. I think he needs to get through the rigour, have some experience, have a body of work behind him. But Thomas Tuchel's ability to see a problem, deal with it, rectify it, sort of nullify it and move on, in-game or at half-time, as he did last week again, a couple of weeks ago against Liverpool, as he did today to win the game against Villa. There seems to be the foreign coaches better at doing that than I would say the British coach, Rob. I don't think we are either. We're taught. Do we have a different eye? Do we not have as much detail, tactical detail to do that?
Well, I think it's an interesting point. And I remember you talking about it. And, you know, I think one thing is that he has got tremendous options on the bench, Rob, to call on Jorginho to come in and fix the issue. But I just wonder if there's just a little bit more support staff, Rob. You know, I wonder if there is, like, and I know most clubs have the technical analysis guys up in the stand looking at stuff. But you're right. And I think there's been times, to be fair, like today, I think we saw it. I think Graham Lasso saw it in commentary. There's been other games where we haven't seen it so much. And we see him play Reece James at right side centre back and his Pellicueta as a right wing back. Everything he sees and does so far seem to have worked, from substitutions to tactical situations to personnel and playing different, just little tiny differences have worked out. And it was again today. So, you know, it's not like, he sometimes does stuff that we don't spot. But going back to your question, there isn't many elite managers, like real elite ones. He's one of them, you know. And I get your point on the British coaches.
You, I hear you, and I know we're talking elite as in, you know, worked at big clubs and whatever. But his reputation wasn't that high when he came. He wasn't regarded in that Pep sort of Klopp kind of.
Yeah, but the next category down, I'd say, Rob. The next category down.
Yeah. Maybe. I just feel like the Frank Lampards of the world we're not there yet at that level. And I don't know what the difference is. I don't know if that's coaching. I don't know if that's experience. I don't know if that's just having more years in the game and going through more things and maybe finding things out more. I don't know. I just feel like I don't know. The British coach doesn't quite seem as thorough.
I think maybe Graham Potter potentially. Yeah. Yeah. Smart thinking yeah. man's coach.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers, I suppose, would be British. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. But what they don't, I'm not sure they do is marry the technical side of it, the real smarts with the drive and the, I think, nastiness is, I'm going to say nastiness that Tuchel has. You know, I think he can be nasty to his players and he doesn't take any like sloppiness where.
Standards,
where. I don't know. I haven't seen that complete package many times. I think Jurgen Klopp, you talk about German coaches, similar thing. Smart guy, super driven, onto his players. Like you've got to have a nasty streak. You've got to have a little bit of fear factor. We said it before on the pod, Rob, for players, I think for these elite guys, and that's what he's bringing. I guess they feel that he can win the title this season with Chelsea.
Yeah, and with Lukaku, 2 goals as well. That makes him be for the season in good form. And, looking in good shape for Chelsea moving forward.
Give us a quick line on Villa, mate. Give us a quick line on Villa.
I thought the longer the game went on, the less their threat became. I thought there was a good period in the first half when they should have scored. I mean, Mendy came up with a couple of saves, but I think Konsa had one, came back to him. If he hits it clean, he scores. Ollie Watkins should have done better with an opportunity. Quiet day for Danny Ings. I haven't quite got themselves going yet, Aston Villa. I kind of feel like it's a little bit bitty. Made one or two defensive errors. And I think we touched on, Dean Smith just has to be a little bit careful at this football club with ambitious owners, with the money they've spent. I know Jack's gone, but we bought players in and a Buendia wasn't available today. But there's an ambition at this football club to be top half, to get close to European football and move on. And just think that Dean Smith has to be aware of that. He's got lots of credit in the bank. He's done a brilliant job. He can't afford things to drop too much and get sloppy, because I think this is an ownership group who will make changes if they have to.
Yeah, you're right. I think the partnership up front of Watkins and Danny Ings is going to be interesting. And he said he wants to play them together as a partnership. So that's going to be, like today, 5-3-2 or a 4-4-2. So that's tactically they might change a little bit because they weren't that. Either of those systems for last season. But that's something I do believe they can play. But two players up front, as two strikers, you got to get it organised before, because that's two guys, for the most part, out of the game when you don't have the ball. But it's a disappointing start, but there's a lot of good parts of this Villa side. They had good periods in this game. I think they'll get better.
Yeah. Let's move it on to Manchester City. You had a tough visit to the KP. You had difficult times with Leicester, but get the job done, Rob. Bernardo Silva with a somewhat scruffy goal from the City's point of view. Normally we see things of beauty that they pass people to death. Build-up was decent, but it fell to Bernardo Silva and he got the 3 points. I mean, City kind of ticking along. Again, not at their imperious best, but getting results. While they're third in the table, 9 points that first loss against Spurs. A game without no centre-forward, Aaron Torres playing as the false nine.
Yeah, it was tough, quite honestly, to study this game. It's the 10 o'clock game today.
Yeah,
there's a ton of games going on. The big Ronaldo game, we keep an eye on it. We see the highlights. We see the goal. Little bit of fortune with it. It's just a good win. It's just a good win at Leicester City. We know Leicester are a good side. With Brendan Rodgers, we know tactically it's going to give City some problems. But this is kind of what City do, Rob, isn't it? You know, whether they really ever fly under the radar, probably not. But a lot of talk about other clubs this season. But City, with the quality that they've got and the manager that they've got, will always be there or thereabouts. And that's a big win, that. You know, you talked about the first game of the season was a bit of a shocker. But to win at Leicester City is big, and they'll get some players back and they'll find a way, and the Champions League's coming up, of course, over the next few weeks. So yeah, really good result for them. Yeah, they ain't gonna be too far away at the end.
Yeah, good result. Well, good result in the end for City, keeps them up there. Let's go to the relegation 6-pointer after 4 games. Arsenal versus Norwich. at the Emirates. It took a while. It took a moment, but eventually Aubameyang got the goal that saw Arsenal get the first 3 points of the season, score their first goals of the season. And yep. I'm sure some relief for Mikel Arteta and Arsenal fans, because it was, for a while, it wasn't going quite to plan. And we're starting to think, really? Scratching our head. But a scruffy goal. I think there was a bit of confusion whether Aubameyang was offside, how it came. Yep. But goal stood, 3 points. It was all about the win, really, wasn't it, for Arsenal? Yeah, couldn't contemplate anything else, really.
No, and it was end up being tight. I mean, 1-0 was not amazingly great, but it's incredibly important. And again, one of the 10 o'clock games today, but I did have a bit more of an eye on this because I just, like, you kind of sense where a story is coming from. What I would say, Rob, is that now, and I said this a few weeks ago when all the pressure was on Arteta and people are screaming for his head, like, hang on, let's just see this team that he's put together, or he's in the middle of putting together. Let's see it play a little bit before we get rid of him. And when you look at the lineup, my friend, here we go. Yeah, now this is starting to look like a Mikel Arteta team that he and Edu has put together. Aaron Ramsdale, my friend, number one. Now, that happened quicker than I thought. He started in goal. Gabriel and Ben White, central pairing partnership that I guess is the number one partnership for Arsenal Football Club. Tomiyasu, the new player that's coming in the window, the end of the window, played a right back. Odegaard's in the side. Saka's in the side. Pepe's in the side. Aubameyang playing as a number nine striker. That's more like it. That's more like a strongish Arsenal side, and that's what we can start judging them on now, Robbie Earl. If this team and others, there's a couple more to come back.
Thomas Partey and there's Partey's on the bench.
There's a couple more to come, potentially come back. But that's Emma Smith Rowe started on the bench in this game. So that's now he's going to be judged, and now I'm happier to sort of say, okay, this is the vision of the club, the youth, the younger signings. Aubameyang is incredibly key. I said it from, you know, right at the start of this season. If he's back firing and scoring goals, everything else becomes a little easier for the new players, the young players, and of course the manager. So, you know, just the lineup looked better, and the result is there at 1-0. Again, there wasn't too much drama, Rob, that we saw in the game in terms of Norwich, in terms of Arsenal defensively. That is a, of all the weekend and stuff, and of course we've got Sunday and Monday to come yet, that was an important win for Arsenal.
Yeah. Against the Norwich team, I think lost 10 straight games last time in the Premier League, lost 4 straight this. So maybe the right kind of opposition for Arsenal. We've got a good, interesting couple of weeks over with Arsenal. Burnley next weekend, North London Derby the following weekend. So important to get some points on the board then, because if not, I'm sure the spotlight falls back on Mikel Arteta. Just a few of the results, mate, just to wrap things up. Brentford 0, Brighton 1. Leandro Trossard with a late winner for Brighton. Graham Potter continues to do great stuff with that football club. They sit fourth in the table. Southampton 0, West Ham 0. No goals, but a red card in this one, Rob, for Mikel Antonio. Two yellows. He made a bit of a clumsy challenge on Gennaro. Got himself a second yellow. It's disappointing for him. Just been named August Player of the Month. We'll miss the next game now, which is at home to Manchester United. So, real blow for him and for West Ham, because they don't have an abundance of centre-forwards in that football club. And Bruno Lage got his first win for Wolves.
First points,
First points. Watford 0, Wolves 2, actually, an own goal and a He Chang Wang goal for him. I mean, it would have been, I think Raul Jimenez's goal would have been the icing on the cake for Wolves, but it's their first win the season, first 3 points, and I'm sure as the new manager, he's just happy to get that one under his belt.
Yeah, I think the Raul Jimenez thing, we saw a header chance that he had. Yeah. He, a little bit anxious maybe on it, trying to put a lot of power into the header. And I think a lot of people, us included, Rob, have thought that Wolves actually looked pretty good. They got unlucky a few times in some results, but that that's really like, okay, the season starts now for them. Watford, again, a team that I think are going to struggle this season. But again, looking at the game going on at the same time, every time I looked over, it's like Adama Traore is running past people. And yeah, Wolves under Bruno Lage, I think they're a fun team. And I think they're going to be really fun to watch. But again, you've got to get points going into this weekend with 0 points. Like, that's more like it. So Wolves and their fans will be much more relieved.
Okay, my friend, end of a Saturday special pod with a special player. Normal service resumed on the return of Cristiano Ronaldo to the Premier League. with only one game coming up tomorrow, that's Leeds versus Liverpool. We'll probably take a break on that one, and we'll be back on Wednesday, that's September the 15th, when we'll recap the first match days from the Champions League, and obviously we'll revisit that Leeds and Liverpool game. If the Leeds and Liverpool is a stunner, we'll jump on a podcast and we'll do a quick 15 or 20 minutes. I'll drag Mr. Musto out and make sure we do one. But some interesting games coming up in the Champions League. Young Boys versus Manchester United, Chelsea versus Zenit, that's Tuesday. And on Wednesday, Man City face Leipzig and Liverpool host AC Milan at Anfield. It looks like a real cracker. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, be healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.